Thank you for allowing me to return. As Richard already gave a capsule of what the lesson's about, some folks find that capsule a bit hard to swallow because it's hard to accept that there is authority. In our current society, authority seems to be at a great question. Seems like people today don't really want authority. They want to have anarchy at times. But when we think about authority in scriptural and spiritual matters, we understand that authority is necessary. We also understand that authority is given by those who have higher power. In this case, let's go to chapter 3. If you go to chapter 3 of Acts chapter 3, this gives a little bit of a beginning of it. And this is where Peter and John are going into the temple, and that's where they heal. And on their way, they heal a lame man. Chapter 3, verse 6, Jesus, they heal him in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. They didn't heal him in their own name. They healed him in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. They even said in chapter 3, verse 12, I know this is not in the notes, but setting the groundwork. Chapter 3, verse 12, they even say, not by our own power. And then they preached Jesus. Then we find in Acts chapter 4, verses 1 through 12, this is where the powers to be of the religious sects of that time, the priests, the Sadducees, Pharisees, they'll be questioning, where did you get this power from? And let's see what's stated here and how and what can we learn from it. Now as they being Peter and John, now as they spoke to the people, the priests and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them, being greatly disturbed that they taught the people and preached in Jesus the resurrection from the dead. I'm going to stop right there. Understanding the Sadducees did not believe in the resurrection of the dead. The Pharisees did. And that was a great contention between the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Continue on. Verse 3. And they laid hands on them and put them in custody until the next day. For it was already evening. However, many of those who heard the word believed, and the number of the men came to be about 5,000. It came to pass on the next day that their rulers, elders, and scribes, as well as Annas the high priest, Caiaphas, John, and Alexander, and as many were of the family of the high priest, were gathered together at Jerusalem. And when they had set them in the midst, they asked, by what power or by what name have you done this? Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day are judged for a good deed done to a helpless man, by what means he has been made well? Let it be known to you all that the people of Israel, by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him this man stands here before you whole. This is the stone which was rejected by you builders, which has become the chief cornerstone. Nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. Now I know that we have lots of other religious sects that pursue or follow other names. But here we see in the scriptures, it's only Jesus Christ. Authority is something that we tend not to like to follow. We just look at our teenagers. And I'm sure none of us were teenagers. Well, no, all of us were teenagers in this audience. Have you ever considered why, as teenagers, we tend to like to get the music that our parents hated? Yes, yes, I know. We all tend to get things that would rile the authority, to buck the system, if you would, to rile the authority to show our independence. Well, there was a Christian who taught me the difference between independence as rebelliousness as opposed to independence helping others. I know this may not be exactly, but this I can be my own boss. There was a brother named Timothy Castleberry in Ontario, California, one time when I was growing up. He was an optometrist in the congregation. He passed away at a much, much too young of an age. But he was a great influence upon me and many others. And on the year of his passing, it was discovered that his wife, that one year, he had written off $50,000 to Christians, helping those who couldn't see. But before his passing, I had to have a letter of reference to become a chiropractor, to go into the chiropractic college. And Dr. Castleberry was one of the ones I chose. And one of the questions I asked was, why'd you become a doctor? His comment stuck with me today, still with me. I became an optometrist because I wanted to have a job that I could be my own boss. And I wouldn't have to ask my boss if I could help a Christian. And that made a lot of sense to me. And as a chiropractor, I continue to try to do the same. But we're not talking physical here. We're talking about spiritual authority. There's an appeal that we want to take the physical and put it into a spiritual. Well, Israel didn't do so well that way. It's a slippery slope when you want to take your own authority and apply it to a spiritual concept. So you can see during the Judges. Judges chapter 21, verse 25. It's recorded, in those days there was no king in Israel. Everyone did what was right in his own eyes. Think about that. If everybody did what you thought was right, is that called humanism? Oh, I think that's what that's called. Secular humanism. Yet there was a period marked here in Israel that the behavior went from bad to worse to wretched. Remains popular with young adults to gain their ability to make their own decisions, to become rebellious against the idea of limitations. However, those who are in power have different ideas. Those who want to be in power tend to want to stay in power for the good or bad. And as the teaching Christ spread, the Jewish rulers demanded they know how the apostles had the right to teach their doctrine and do miracles, as we have read in chapter 4, verse 5 through 7. The apostles told them, there's the power by whose authority? Jesus Christ. Let me ask you, how many other religions base their religion on the evidence of miracles and spiritual power? It's a question. Don't answer out loud. Chapter 4, verse 5. And it came to pass in the next day that their rulers and elders, as you can well, we just read, that they, in verse all the way down to verse 7, they came midst them, with what name have you done this? Peter and John answered them well, didn't they? What's power? There's a synonym. Authority. The meaning of power is the force, the strength. Ultimately, authority. In those verses, this word that was used for a power is, and I'm having a hard time with it, dunamai. But authority is exousia. Authority, right, a power is used. The power being demonstrated by the apostles could not have originated from men. Both power and authority comes from God. Jesus demonstrated the power that could only originate from God in Acts chapter 2, verse 22. Acts chapter 2, verse 22. Men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs which God did through him in your midst, as you yourselves also know. If you have somebody who says that they have a power or an authority, and they can't back it up, do they really have power and authority? This also meant that God was backing Jesus and the message which Jesus was giving. We see that in John chapter 3, verse 2. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him. You don't have miracles without God. Jesus also promised his disciples power. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, and in all Judea, Samaria, and to the end of the earth. Jesus, who has the authority from God, is now saying to his apostles, I will give you the same. The apostles also preached with power. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 1 through 5. And I, brethren, when I came to you, did not come with excellence of speech or of wisdom, declaring to you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. I was with you in weakness, in fear, and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. We can think of lots of different things, Jewish leaders, and they have used their power and saying, I have the power, but here, the apostle said, I have the power, but here's the meaning, here's the message, but here's the power, and demonstrated it. Thus, the Jewish leaders were asked, who is the authority behind the miracles? And they were doing. Rather than being honest, they did not want to believe. The authority backed their teaching. Jesus stated that they came with the given authority of his power. We see that also in John chapter 5, verse 43. I've come in my Father's name, and you did not receive me. If another comes in his own name, you he will receive. In John chapter 5, verses 31 through 47. It's a long reading, but I think it's worthy of reading. John chapter 5, verse 31 through 47. Jesus here is disclosing that he is from God. But they did not want to acknowledge this. And we see this in verse 42, and the reason they did not love God. If you're here today, I suspect you want to love God because you want to have salvation. And thus, you should love God. And let's just see what Jesus says about his relationship with God and the power given to him. If I bear witness of myself, my witness is not true. There is another who bears witness of me, and I know that the witness which he witnesses of me is true. You have sent to John, and he has borne witness of the truth. Yet I do not receive testimony from man, but I say these things that you may be saved. He was the burning and the shining lamp, and you were willing for a time to rejoice in his light. But I have a greater witness than John's. For the works which the Father has given me to finish, the very works that I do, bear witness of me, that the Father has sent me. And the Father himself who sent me has testified of me. You have neither heard his voice at any time nor seen his form. But you do not have his word abiding in you, because whom he sent, you did not believe. You search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. And these are which they testify of me, but you are not willing to come to me, that you may have life. I do not receive honor from men, but I know you, that you do not have the love of God in you. I have come in my Father's name, and you do not receive me. If another comes in his own name, him you will receive. How can you believe who receives honor from one another and do not seek the honor that comes from the only God? Do not think that I shall accuse you to the Father. There is one who accuses you, Moses, in whom you trust. For if you believed Moses, you would believe me, for he wrote about me. But if you do not believe his writings, how will you believe my words? So not only did he have John being a witness of him, he had his miracles being a witness. And the miracles came from God. And thirdly, he goes on to say, if you don't believe Moses, he's a witness of me. You don't believe him? He's the one who's going to point and judge you on that one. Notice that some claim no greater than themselves. How about Joseph Smith, Jim Jones, David Koresh? Keep on going. The names just keep piling up. These folks tend to want to have themselves as the authority, but they don't have the true authority from God. Nor did they have miracles. Just had a lot of good, soft and sweet words. Jesus promised the disciples that they would be able to act and delegated authority to them. As we've ever seen, but let's look at Mark chapter 16, verse 17. And these signs will follow those who believe. In my name they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents. And if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. I don't know about you, but have you ever had somebody come up and knowing somebody who is dying of any disease, cancer, anything, and just have them touch them and instantly going away? How about somebody who's picked up some turpentine or cyanide or something and eaten it and it didn't hurt them? I don't know about you, but I'd start paying real close attention real quick. The folks that were given the authority by Jesus, the disciples, they were given the power to continue to teach. The apostles didn't just do it with fluffy words. They did it with the power and the authority given to them by Jesus Christ, and who ultimately got it from God, of course, Jesus being God. Let's see John chapter 14, verse 11. John chapter 14, verse 11. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the sake of the words themselves, works themselves. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. And greater works than these he will do, because I go to my Father. And whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do. Now, I want to clarify something here. Some people believe that if you just simply say in God's name, you're healed. So in God's name, you will this. In God's name, that you'll do that. Who's Jesus talking to? Is he talking, Jesus talking directly to you and me? Who's he talking to here? He's talking to his disciples. Can you go over and heal the sick by putting your hand on somebody? No. Jesus is telling the apostles directly that you have the power. He's not for us. So when I've had people come into my office and say, oh, we're going to teach you by showing you our tongues. And they start off with some gibberish. I said, can you please tell me what you said? No. But it's tongues. I said, oh, really? It's not tongues. Folks, we need to be careful to get our authority from the source. And the source is from God. Thus, we like to make today who do not want to be morally governed by higher authority. The Jewish leaders were asking by whose authority? They didn't want to give up their authority. They did not want to give up their authority. Because now, if somebody else is the higher authority, they're going to have to give up their leadership. They didn't want to give it up. Acts chapter 4, verse 10. So, let it be known to you and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him this man stands before you whole. He is showing you, here is a man who's been healed. That is the proof of our authority. And it's Jesus Christ who is the power here. And that's the authority. The apostles were not promoting their own agenda. They were acting as Jesus' agents. Simon saw Peter and John giving the power of the Holy Spirit to new Christians. And Simon, who previously practiced sorcery, desired the power of authority. Wait. You're telling me that a sorcerer wants power? Doesn't a sorcerer, a witch, or a magician have power already? No, it's trickery. There's a famous famous story. Harry Houdini lost his mother. He was very close to his mother. And Harry Houdini, one of the most celebrated magicians, an escape artist, he wanted to have a talk with his mom again. He went to hundreds, if not thousands, of psychics. And every single one of them, he defaced. He found out that it was all trickery. And he could prove every single one of them was a charlatan and a fraud. Simon knew the difference between trickery and power. When you have somebody who's so well versed in trickery, so the whole population around you thinks you have power. And now that person says, can I have that power? Because I know it's power, not trickery. It's different. See what happens as said here in Acts chapter 8. Acts chapter 8, starting in verse 17. They laid hands on them and they received the Holy Spirit. And when Simon saw that through the laying on of hands of the apostles. Of who? The apostles. Hands of the Holy Spirit was given. He offered them money, saying, give me this power also that anyone whom I lay my hands on receive the Holy Spirit. Holy power. Holy Spirit. But in verse 20, Peter said to him, your money perish with you because you thought that the gift of God could be purchased with money. You have neither part nor partition in this matter, for your heart is not right in the sight of God. Repent, therefore, of this your wickedness, and pray, God, if perhaps the thought of your heart may be forgiven you. For I see that you are poisoned by bitterness and bound by iniquity. The apostles, they could see through it too, couldn't they? We have a need for authority. Suppose you stop at a rest area and enter the building. You see two doors. One's marked, and they're both marked restrooms, of course. And one says personnel only, authorized personnel. And the other says public. Which one do you have authority to go to? Authorized personnel door? Or the one that says public? Well, of course, if you work there, that's another story, isn't it? But we all know there's the door we ought to go through. We have the authority to go to that one. Nowadays, they put a key on that one, don't they? Or back sometimes both. But we know we need to have authority. You immediately know that you're not permitted to enter the door that doesn't belong to you. When you enter the restroom door, until recently you'd see men and women, and you have that same understanding. Our society's deteriorated. The word only makes a big deal. It doesn't appear that when it says only those who obey Christ. Oh, wait a minute. Can't I obey something else? By whose authority? Only Jesus Christ. Salvation can only be gotten by one who has the authority. We saw in Acts chapter 4, verse 12, that it states once again, nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. No other religion either. This thing called Muhammad, this made-up God, Allah, there's how many billions of people now have been duped by this thing, this religion, and they think they're going to go to heaven? But yet when you go back through history, did this guy named Muhammad, did he have any miracles to back up his claims? No. His was backed up by a bunch of thugs who murdered people to make them believe or to be subservient to his will. You go back in the history of Muhammad, he wiped out his whole hometown city, Mecca, and made his own religious center. Jesus inherited a more excellent authority. Hebrews chapter 1. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 4 through 6. Having become so much better than the angels, he has by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. For to which of the angels did he ever say, you are my son, today I have begotten you. And again, I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. But when he again brings the firstborn into the world, he says, let all the angels of God worship him. What prominence does Jesus Christ have? A huge prominence. Jesus has the highest authority. Philippians chapter 2, verses 9 through 11. Therefore, God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven and those on earth and of those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. We also see in Colossians chapter 3, 17, that God teaches us is that the need of authority in every aspect of our lives through Christ Jesus. Colossians 3:17. And whatever you do in word or deed, and there's a song with that one too, isn't there? Do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Jesus was given all authority, not just a little bit, not just any, but all. All doesn't have anything except it. It's all, everything. We see that in Matthew chapter 28, verse 19. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Now stop right there if you mind. We have laws in this land that tell us one thing. And then there's law that Jesus has told us. What does it say here? He was given all authority in what? In heaven and on earth. So whose authority are we to obey when the government tells us one thing that's opposite of what Christ has told us? Who are we to obey? If you want to play the loophole, well, you know, God gave us government, and so therefore I should obey the government. Okay? Now let's go back. Who gave government the authority? Uh-huh. Government's only middle management. Can you imagine if the owner of a company told the manager, do this, the manager did something different. The employee came along and did what the manager said, and then do you think the owner has the right to fire everybody? Yeah. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 19. Ephesians 1, 19. And what is the exceeding greatness of His power toward us who believe? According to the working of His mighty power, which He worked in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and seated Him at the right hand of the heavenly places, far above all principalities and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. And He put all things under His feet and gave Him to be head over all things to the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him who fills all in all. All our conduct must be conformed to what Jesus has directed us to do. We must have prior approval for our actions. Oh, but you know what is very popular? Go ahead and do it. Ask for forgiveness later. Is that how Jesus taught us? No. I see that every day at work. At school, I'll hear some teachers, oh, let's just do it that anyway, even though we know the principal probably wouldn't care for it. We'll ask for forgiveness later. Oh, boy. Authority is authority, and you need to follow. As long as it's following Christ, you're doing fine. Christ said, be honest. Oh, that's a hard one for our society. Moses spoke to Pharaoh and in God's name. Here, Moses, we'll see in Exodus chapter 5, verse 23. Let's see what it says here. For since I came to Pharaoh to speak in your name, and he has done evil to this people, neither have you delivered your people at all. Oh. But here, Moses is showing that he went to Pharaoh in whose name? God's name. Nadab and Abihu. If you've not studied about Nadab and Abihu, you ought to. Here, Nadab and Abihu, they were going to offer incense. And they took their incense and they used profane fire. Profane fire? Fire is fire, right? You know what's funny is that recently they've done more studies on fire. It's kind of a side note. There's actually a difference in fire. Different qualities of different types of fire, from the fuel to the emissions of that fire. And there's a difference. And unless we have the tools and the machines to measure it, you can't see it. But I thought that was interesting. Leviticus chapter 10, verse 1. Leviticus 10, verse 1. Then Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron. Well, wait a minute. Aaron was given the authority, wasn't he? He was the high priest. Nadab and Abihu's sons each took his censer and put fire in it, put incense on it, and offered profane fire before the Lord. Now that was okay, wasn't it? No? I see head shaking. Let's continue. Which he had not commanded. So fire went out from the Lord and devoured them. And they died before the Lord. There you go. It's a good thing that the Lord doesn't act that way today. Authority is very important. Nadab and Abihu did not have the authority to offer that fire. They acted in a way that God did not command. As a result, as a matter of fact, we saw this morning in our class in Proverbs, it's a fool who does not obey or honor God. Nadab and Abihu found that out, sadly. Leviticus chapter 10, verse 3. And Moses said to Aaron, "This is what the Lord spoke, saying, by those who come near me, I must be regarded as holy, and before all the people I must be glorified." So Aaron held his peace. Uzzah also, another man in the Old Testament. They were trying to do, they thought, the right thing. But Uzzah did not follow the prescription which God had given and how to move the Ark of the Lord, the Ark of Covenant. Moses said to Aaron, I'm sorry, 2 Samuel chapter 6, verse 6. And when they came to Nekon's threshing floor, Uzzah put out his hand to the Ark of God and took hold of it, for the ox stumbled. Well, wasn't that a good thing? He was trying to keep it from falling. We see in 2 Samuel 6, verse 7, the very next verse. Then the anger of the Lord was aroused against Uzzah, and God struck him there for his error. He died there by the ark of God. They did not follow God's orders. They did not follow his rule. 1 Chronicles 15:13. For because you did not do it in the first time, the Lord of our God broke out against us, because we did not consult him about the proper order. Now they're starting to figure it out. They did not carry the ark of God in the correct way as prescribed by God. Even King David had to follow God. Centurion, let's jump to the New Testament. Centurion during the time of Christ. If you understand the centurion, that's a Roman soldier who's over about 100 men, thereabouts. And he's a commander. He knows authority. Now when Jesus had entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him, pleading with him, saying, "Lord, my servant is lying at home paralyzed, dreadfully tormented." And Jesus said to him, "I will come and heal him." The centurion answered and said, "Lord, I am not worthy that you should come under my roof, but only speak a word and my servant will be healed. For I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me. And I say to this one, go, and he goes, and another, come, and he comes. And to my servant, do, and he does." Wow. This centurion knew authority. The Jewish leaders questioned Jesus of his authority. In Matthew chapter 21, verse 23. Now when he came into the temple, the priest, chief priests and the elders of the people confronted him as he was teaching and saying, "By what authority are you doing these things, and who gave you this authority?" Realize this was before Peter and John were being questioned, the same question, weren't they? In other words, they didn't want to lose their power. The answer, who needs authority as long as I'm in the direct violation of command, and since I can do as I want. That's really kind of what they were trying to say. Jesus instead answered them that the authority could have come from men or asked. Could it come from men or come from God? They refused to answer. They didn't want to be honest about it. Since everything we do must come from the one in power, we are limited in what we may do or say. When we speak as the oracles of God. We need to listen and we need to learn and we need to tell and say what God would want us to say. In 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 11, if anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. If anyone ministers, let him do it as with the ability which God supplies, that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belong the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen. What we must advocate must be found in the sayings of God. You can't say, I think. Recently, I've heard two people tell me, rightfully so, how they handled when they were trying to teach another person the gospel. Two people so far recently told me how the person trying to learn says, I don't know, I don't want to hear what the Bible says. I want to hear what you think. And those two people told how they said, well, it doesn't matter what I think. It matters what the scriptures say. You can think and say all you want, but if it's not what Jesus Christ, God, has told you to say, you ought to keep quiet. You should not add to it or subtract from it. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 6. Now these things, brethren, I have figuratively transferred to myself and Apollos for your sakes, that you may learn in us not to think beyond what is written, that none of you may be puffed up on behalf of one against the other. Galatians chapter 1, verse 8. But even if we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than what we have preached to you, let him be accursed. As we have said before, so now I say again, if anyone preaches any other gospel to you than what you have been received, let him be accursed. How many of you, don't answer with the hands up or anything, how many of you have been approached by a Mormon or Latter-day Saints person or Jehovah's Witness or others who want to try to teach you their form of their Bible? Yes, they have their own Bibles, and yes, they have transferred some of the words and stuff, but they're not correct. They have not transferred from Greek directly. They've put in their own stuff. So they're teaching another gospel. They're adding to it. We are to examine everything carefully. Yeah. If you look at the Mormon Bible and you look at some of that stuff, where did this come from? It's different. It's not from God. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 21. Test all things. Hold fast that what is good. Abstain from what is every form of evil. Brethren, we need to make sure that when we're teaching others, don't be duped by another type of religion. You need to go to the scriptures. Find out what the scriptures say. Including those things stated from a pulpit, you need to make sure that you are understanding and searching and see if that is correct. If you've been to a congregation where they just have stories from the pulpit and they don't have scriptures backing up what they're saying, be leery. Be wary. And question. And even if they use scripture, make sure they've used it in the correct context. The context, context, context. Do you know you can prove anything? Anything in the Bible. Anything. As long as you pull it out of context. But once you put it in context, now it has a meaning that's true. Detectives and police look at context when they're looking at cases because it makes a difference. The time of when things happened, who knew what, and how they knew it. Context, context, context. Brethren, we need to make sure that our authority is correct. And I don't care who's up here. In any pulpit, you question. you make sure it has the correct authority from the Scriptures. Excuses is why you don't. Well, all around us are churches who introduce all sorts of other things without authority. It meets our needs, they'll say. Gets more people involved. Brings in a lot of people if we do this. It generates enthusiasm. It allows us to get things done. We really like it. It keeps our young people interested. And it creates a warm, accepting environment. Those are some of the excuses for having all sorts of programs that we find no authority in the Scriptures to do. How about having church kitchens where you have, open the door and have everybody come in. Find that in Scripture? Orphan homes? I know that was a big question. Church has been questioned. All sorts of things have been questions. But when you go back to the Scriptures and find out, is it in there? That's the authority. Not the I thinks, I likes. Not all these things that are necessarily bad are bad in themselves unless they're against the authority. If you cannot do book, chapter, verse, be careful. In Acts chapter 10, but in every nation, whoever fears Him and works righteousness is accepted by Him. We cannot cross the boundary of what we have been allowed to have. 2 John 9. Whoever transgresses and does not abide in the doctrine of Christ does not have God. He who abides in the doctrine of Christ has both the Father and the Son. There's only one way to get to heaven. Jesus in chapter 14, John 14, verse 6. Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. The day of judgment. After you're dead, are you going to say, I'm going to live by man's authority? I liked it. So-and-so told me to do that. You think God will take that? One last one. Acts chapter 4, verse 12. Nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men which by we must be saved. You can't be saved without Christ Jesus. Salvation is not by or from our own authority, but from our Creator's authority. Who will judge us? God through Christ, via the apostles, is the only authority we can use. All other is man-made and has no standing with God. We'll be saved by Christ and no one else. I know this is pretty elementary, but the simple fact is that if we don't use the Bible for our authority for everything, including trying to get more members, I think the congregations that wanted to put breakfast clubs or all sorts of things to try to pull people in, they're only being drawn in by the physical desires and wants. They're not being drawn in by the spiritual. And how many of those folks, when you really look at them, are true Christians when they're done? They got a full belly, but are they a true Christian? Will they be saved? Do everything by Christ's name and His authority, and you'll be fine. That would be the lesson. If there's anybody here who needs help with anything, the prayers of the congregation, or needs to have some sort of something we can help you with, boy, I'm tongue-tied this morning, please come forward as we stand and sing.